So it's an email. So if you can distribute those quickly. I want you to have this in your hands because what God is undertaking with us is important for us to dig deep to the place of faith and understanding. So, there's several over here that don't have any. When we get to box 2 and 3, if 2 or 3 other people can help them distribute, then it won't take quite so long. All right, let me explain to you what you're looking at. What you're looking at is an email, obviously, and I have, for data protection reasons, deliberately blocked out the names involved. But as you recall, we had been told quite some time back that we were going to be vacating this building, and I had just gotten back from, I think, America, and a number of things happened there. I received this email, and it says, "Hello, good evening, my name is, and I'm living in Stanmore with my husband and go to the Stanmore Baptist Church. I came across one of your YouTube sermons about moving locations, and I was excited to hear how God is moving in your congregation." Through someone who lives close to the church. I rushed ahead. "Immediately, I received a word from God telling me to pray. What I heard from God was that God is going forth ahead of you." Everybody say, "ahead of us." "To prepare the building, but set a foundation in which believers will grow in number as well as in spiritual gifts. I was praying and something came to my attention. I saw a girl roughly 18 to 20 years old, and she looked to be of Indian origin. And the heavenly messenger is here today. I felt God tell me to tell you to tell her to pray in front of the congregation at church. I believe when she opens her mouth, there will be an instruction and words of knowledge about the new building. Will you also please let me know who she is? I do not know what to do about this situation. It's so sudden, and I can't comprehend this knowledge as I don't know you or the church. Appreciate." Anyway, I wanted you to have that because I wanted you to be able to track what God is doing with us. I don't know this person. And they watched a YouTube video and God spoke to them. And what is you find behind is the word of the Lord that happened on a particular Sunday on the 28th of October. And if you recall, if you were here, I got ready to preach. I hadn't told anybody about this email, and I invited Elizabeth to come out and pray, and she tentatively came out wondering why on earth I was going to ask her to pray, and she actually kind of whispered as she walked up, "Me?" But being a wonderful woman of God she is, she came to the mic over here, and she spoke in tongues, and then she stopped and began to prophesy. And you have the prophecy there in front of you. I'm not going to take time to read that, but I wanted to give you that because that forms part of what we are doing tomorrow evening. Everybody say, "tomorrow evening."
Tomorrow evening.
I get you to say these things because we might be a little fuzzy. Tomorrow evening. So I'd like you to go through this, and I'd like you to see how many parallels there are between the email and the prophecy. Okay? Box number 2. I've drunk so much water in the last number of days, I thought I was going to have to get out my wellies. There are several things that form the basis for faith in our life journey. Two of the most significant are the Bible and the prophetic. And so I just gave you some of the prophetic. A prophetic word that prompted another prophetic word. And now I'm giving you some scriptures that you can use on Monday night. And these are scriptures that enable us to stand in faith for our new facilities. On the second page, at the bottom, at the asterisk says, we have sowed for several years into the construction that provides new facilities in Uganda and South Africa. The Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. And so we have been sowing, and the Bible says you will reap if you faint not. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not fainting. Okay. So we were continuing that this morning, even as Clive led us. So the second to the last paragraph on that page, Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, some of you wouldn't remember, but in the space of a year, we had six visiting ministries, all six of them who did not know each other and didn't know about what had happened. All six of them gave us those verses, Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. I'm telling you this so that this people of faith has their faith freshly ignited. Now, also in the fasting pack that I gave you, there's quite a number of prophecies. And so I'd like you to take your copy and I'd like you to go through it and just let the Holy Spirit highlight something in the prophecies of the sheets I've given you just now, or scripture. And so tomorrow night when we come here at 8 o'clock, we'll sing one song. And then I'd like you to come and just make a faith declaration based on the word of the Lord, either from the scripture or from some phrase God has spoken to us prophetically. And we're going to release into the air what is our profound conviction based on the unshakable word of the Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So if you can come prepared, then when I call on you, you won't look blank. All right, third box. That's the message notes. Let me just say a little bit about something while they're passing those out. Fasting is a food focus and hearing contest. It's a food contest. How many of you know it's a food contest? Or the rest of you don't mind going without. Okay, fine. We'll do another 10-day. You will. It's a food contest. It's also very much a focus contest because we live in a world of distraction. And there's lots of them. And have you discovered that when you're not eating food, it's amazing how things come up into your mind. And if you're not careful, the whole day can go away and the night can go away if it goes away. And you haven't focused on the Lord. And it's also a hearing contest. And you will only hear if you focus. And so I'd encourage you in these last 2 days, everybody look at me for a moment because I know you're reading very swiftly and want me to get quick through this quickly. And if you look at me for a moment, in the next 2 days, I'd like you to take some time, because we're coming to the end of this fasting period, to just simply sit before the Lord. However you do it, whatever is most workable for you, with a little worship music or whatever, and say what Samuel said. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I understand that some of you have already begun to hear from the Lord, and that's wonderful. But let us take the last 2 days and take some time during your day, just whether it's in the morning or before the evening meeting, and just say, Lord, I want to hear from you. I quiet down all the other voices, and I listen for the still, small voice of your Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay. I'd like to speak this morning on humbling through yielding. As we've been looking at, fasting is part of humbling yourself. And I want us all to get the maximum out of this fasting and prayer before the Lord. And so that's why I'm speaking about humbling through yielding. In Luke 22:42, you know, Jesus' last words before he died, well, the second his last words before he died, was that in the garden, when he was facing the greatest pressure to not do what he was called to do, to not do what everything in him was against, he said, Father, take this cup from me. So we know that, Father, take this cup from me, is an indication that it wasn't something he wanted to drink. Interesting. Take this cup from me. We partake of a cup because he partook of a cup. And then he says some of the most important words of redemptive history that really sums up all of redemption. He says, yet not my will, but yours be done. If you want to be able to describe your Christian journey, it's simply that. Not my will, but God's will. And in Matthew 6 and verse 10, Jesus taught us to pray. And it's often called the Lord's Prayer, but he'd already prayed that, so it's more the disciples' prayer than the Lord's Prayer. He says, your kingdom come, your will. Everybody say will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the will of God is done in creation, so the will of God done in the earth has to be done in people. In people. It's interesting, in Matthew 8:19, Scripture says, then a teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you wherever you go. Have you ever said that to the Lord? I will follow you wherever you go. Matthew 8:23 says, he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Disciples follow the master. Matthew 15:20 says, for whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and my sister and my mother. So the family of God is made up of those who come through the doors. No. The family of God is made up of those who do God's will. That's what he said. Whoever does the will, not whoever knows the will, considers the will, ponders the will, has a Bible or two, digital or otherwise. It says, whoever does the will of my Father. Jesus said, that's my brother and my sister, my mother. That's my family. That's my family. And that's why it's so special to me to be your pastor. Because I know that's what's in your heart. You know, yielding is one of the toughest words to embrace. Did you know that? Maybe you never thought of that. But yielding is one of the toughest words in life to embrace. And if you don't capture that lesson, you're on a hard road. And it actually begins when you're a child, an infant. When a child is born, it's amazing. When they're lying in the crib there, you can tell when they are not pleased with their mother or their father's behavior. I mean, they cry if they need to be changed. They're crying if they want to be held. They're crying if they want food. That's understandable. That's fine. But there are times when you put them in the crib and they don't want to be in the crib. And when they're in the crib and they're crying, you can hear the tone change. It's an angry cry. You're not treating me like I want you to treat me. It starts that young. We have first indications of the nature of man to insist on its own will, its own way. So wise parents, listen to me. And the message today isn't about this, but I want to drop this in. Wise parents seek to break the will of their child, but not the spirit. You want to break the will, but not the spirit. Without breaking the child's will, the child grows up with strong self-will and a natural bent, even more so, to go outside the boundaries of authority. And as a result, terrible things occur to them and others simply because they've never learned to yield to someone else in authority. And you see, parents' relation to their children is a parallel of our relationship to our Heavenly Father. It's a parallel. God trains us to do His will. When we don't do His will, Hebrews 12 comes into play. The Bible says, don't get discouraged when you get disciplined. If God takes the stick to your backside, which is illegal in this country, if God takes a stick to your backside, don't get discouraged. It's because He loves you and He's making you a better person. So we understand that parents' relation to their children, in disciplining them, in enforcing discipline. You know, I often see parents who are persuaded by their children to let them have their own way. And I think to myself, you don't understand, parenting is prophetic. What you do today, you will see tomorrow. You will see tomorrow. You will see it tomorrow. And if you don't capture the significance of that confrontation between you and the child, you can mark it down. There are some days of severe disappointment for you, as well as serious trouble for your child. So however you choose with wisdom to discipline your child, Your goal is to make certain that your will is enforced. If it's not, you're really saying to the child, you know, it doesn't really matter if the primary authority in your life doesn't want you to do something. It doesn't matter. You just figure out a way to wheedle around it and do what you want to do. In the end, you get what you want. That is the most unloving and dangerous thing a parent can ever do with their child. They're setting in motion something that is incredibly destructive. The child doesn't see it. They just see getting their own way. Getting their own way. You know, my parents were strict, I think. Looking back, they're probably just biblical. Well, you know, when you're a kid, you think, oh, well, I had to endure things that other kids don't. I know, you never thought that way. My parents didn't even allow us to pout. You know, sometimes you get told as a child you don't get to do something or go somewhere or do something. You know, you can go. My mom and my dad say, stop that pouting or I'll give you a reason to. And you know what? That was so good. Why was it good? It taught us that you are in charge of your own attitude. You can actually change your attitude. Oh, I have to be careful I don't get off where I'm headed, but a pastor told me one time, you know, in building a church, he says, you never know in developing a leadership team what you have in a man or a woman until you cross them. Until you say, no, that's not right. Oh, here's some adjustments you need to make. You never know what you have until you cross somebody. And if they won't receive correction, direction, instruction, adjustment, they will never be a productive, helpful member of a leadership team. You see, we live in a world that speaks so much of what is right for me, as though there were no absolutes and no laws, no government, no higher will to which a person should submit. Judges says, there was a time in Israel where in those days there was no king, so every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Wow, that describes our world today. And if we understand the cross, this symbol of the cross, it's called the cross. Two pieces of wood nailed together, called the cross. Why? In the wisdom of God, the cross is called the cross because it is the crossing of two wills, God's will and man's will. God's will and man's will. God's will is, don't eat of that tree, I'm going to eat of it anyway. God's will and man's will. So God says, okay, I'm going to deal with that issue. And I'm going to send my son to the cross. Because I want mankind to be redeemed from the whole process of denying God's will and going with their own will. You know, yielding comes out of brokenness. It comes out of brokenness. I've worked with people in ministry for almost 50 years or maybe more. And so I've often seen this. Often people are very broken. One man said, after telling me his considerable tale of woes, what makes you think you can tell me what to do? I said, I can't command you to do anything. Only say what God has said you should do. How bad off were you before you came to see me? What would happen if you simply yielded? Everybody say yielded. What would happen if you simply yielded to the advice I've given you and gave it a try? If nothing happened, you've lost nothing. At this point, you've only taken your own advice, and it brought you here to see if I could confirm that you had made all the right decisions. There was a woman in our church some years ago, and she came early on, and I noticed that she wouldn't look me in the eye. And so inside, I said to myself, here's somebody who's been bruised. And so she would come and attend the services, but I could tell that she was kind of spiritually encased. So I said to her one day, I said, would you like to sit down and talk sometime? I'd like to know more about your history. She said, no, I don't do counseling. I tried that. I said, oh, okay, that's fine. I said, we'll just go on loving you. You just keep coming. By and by, after maybe a couple of months, she came and she said, Pastor, I would like to talk. And so we sat down and she talked and she told me her story. It was a hard story. And I could see that life had cut her up very significantly. I listened to her. I said, let me tell you, God has a plan to heal you, change your life, and make you better. And I said, I want to give you that plan today. And so I told her a few things that she needed to do. And I could tell these were hard things. You know, how many of you would look forward to major surgery? Oh, yeah, I love it. No. One of them was that she needed to forgive a certain person. I could tell that was a mountain for her. And I said, here's what you need to do. I said, you need to write a letter to this person because they're long ways away. She didn't have anything but the address. So she wrote a long letter, and we sat down, and I read the letter, and I said, yeah, okay, that's pretty much good, but there's a couple places in there that sound a little bit like an excuse. Take that out. Oh, okay. And I said, after you send it, you pray the blessing of God on that person. She did it. She did everything in her plan. She yielded to God's word. You know what? There was such a radical turnaround in her, such a change in her. She became the busy bee of New Life Bible Church. And anytime any new people came into the church, on the first Sunday they were there, she looked out for any new person, and afterwards she'd be over talking to them and just kind of friendly, getting to know them. And she'd say, you know, if you didn't have any other plans, I'd love to have you come to my house for lunch. And they were kind of shocked, you know. We just came and they're getting an invitation to lunch.